Let's talk about Lovecraft Country, episode 9 of season 1, Rewind 1921, dominated pretty much by the crew heading back to 1921 Tulsa in an effort to get the Book of Names so they can use it to save Dee, who they temporarily got Christina to help reset the spell, but it won't last, so they need to come up with a more permanent solution. Also, Tick has agreed, in order to get Christina to reset the spell, to go back to Artem with Christina, who needs all of his blood so she can become immortal.
Yeah. Wait, what's funny is I think she said, "I need his blood." She didn't say all of, but I had that what I assume is the same thought, which is like, can he just donate some? Is that enough?
Yeah. No. When she's talking to Ruby, she's like, I'll need his blood. And she stops, and either Ruby says something and then she says all of it. But yeah, she does come out and be like, yeah, no, he's not going to survive. I can't remember the exact words, but it becomes clear. Yeah.
But they're like, and in case you're wondering, do you remember when we just started this series, it really had an anthology feel, those first few episodes. And now we're in this kind of weird hybrid stuff. This one, I felt it a lot because it was the first 25 minutes was all connective tissue to other episodes. And you had to have seen the thing to understand why Ruby is able to do this. You had to have seen the thing, the previous episode for the D stuff or whatever. And then the last 30 minutes are a total, I don't know, kind of like a remembrance, like let's go into the dad's memories of that time. And then it was totally kind of in a bottle and yeah, they got the MacGuffin and got out. I don't know. This one just felt, I felt this disconnect between the two halves of it.
I don't know if I would call it pacing or something else, but there is a problem with this series in getting you to have momentum as a viewer. You can work through it. If you like enough of the characters and the storylines, you can work through it because it's all there and it's all good and it's all connected. But because sometimes it's an entire episode in another dimension or an entire episode in a flashback in Korea, you never seem to get enough rolling for me. And my wife and I talked about this. We both feel the same way on it. You'd never feel like I'm in the story and I know what the mysteries are and I'm ready to find them. Not that you don't know what the mysteries are. It's just, you keep getting distracted by like, oh, well now we're going to look at this. Now we're going to look at Ruby's story. And yeah, I think they might've been better served to either go all anthology or, like I said previously, follow more of the book's structure and say like, we'll do 3 or 4 episodes on this story. Then we'll just stop and we'll do 3 or 4 episodes on this story and it'll interconnect, but they will be self-contained. Because it really does feel like it stops and starts a little bit. And like sometimes it's a straight ahead narrative and sometimes it's anthology.
You know what it reminds me of is, and I think that's sort of the same thing that makes it great is also the same thing that might make it difficult on some episodes, is it's a bit like reading an anthology of short science fiction stories in that some will be your jam and some will not be your jam. And and it's like that pivot from last week being a straight up, you know, one of the threads being a straight up awesome, terrible, you know, monster is going to get you a horror movie. And then this, you know, a time traveling remembrance of a terrible riot. I mean, I like your phrasing of momentum. It's hard to feel like we're buckled in and we're in the groove when at any moment we're taken out of it. And I really felt that this episode was like, okay, so are we in the groove or are we pausing to go hit the reset button where all of a sudden everything's in a bottle halfway through an episode? It's just a little fits and starts for me.
That said, I enjoyed the first half of the episode well enough. I felt like, okay, we're making progress. Christina's revealing more of her plan. Things are coming into place. They have a plan to get the Book of Names. I really liked the second half. I got swept up and no longer was thinking about where are we and why do they need this anymore. It was like, okay, we're in Tulsa and they need the Book of Names. Great. Simple. Well, let's get to it. And I got swept away by that more than I usually do in this. And that's a testament to the fact that they have built up really good characters that you understand and sympathize with and are complex. And I thought they did a great job of, you know, subverting not only Tick's, but I think the viewer's expectations of his father, Montrose, within the story that he's telling, where, you know, I thought that the things Montrose was hearing was him remembering punishing Tick. And then it turns out that it's not. He's remembering his own father punishing him, which explains how he treated Tick. And then there's the, well, did you and your mother, you know, who was my real father? Well, biologically, George was your real father. And that's a big revelation. But also, I was your father for this reason. I loved all of that. I thought that was all great.
That's interesting because I keyed in to the moment they time travel and they did make a moment. I was like, okay, what rules are we playing under? Because there's various interpretations of
sure.
what the rules of the games are, you know, and they eliminate the mini worlds one. So the Infinity War type stuff where it's just like, yep. Hey, do whatever you want. There'll be no repercussions. They're like, no, you have to have everything be fine. But the question is this more Back to the Future or frequency rules where you can change things, but they could be for the better? Instead, it does one of my favorite sets of rules, which is it is impossible, like do whatever you want in the past, because it is impossible for you to mess anything up because it's already happened. And so there's sort of that moment where it's like, okay, so that's what you went with, which makes me think of there was some young adult book I read when I was in eighth grade where I've never seen it again, but somebody time traveled and the advice she was given, like, can I change the past? They're like, yeah, you can, but you won't want to. And so like in the past, she picks up a vase and she goes, I could smash this right now. And she's like, but it's a nice vase. And then she sets it back. I was more keyed into like, what rules are we playing by?
Sure. I did love that they went with my preferred but harder to tell a story within rule, which is like, no, all of time is fixed. We only perceive it as moving because we're humans. And no, you can't go back and change things because that's just how it happened. And yet you'll feel like you have free will still. And so that moment when he's like, so, but your stranger isn't coming, and he kicks the bat and realizes like, oh shit, I'm the stranger.
Yeah.
This is great. Like, I love that. I was cheering at that point.
Also, man, that is a brutal beatdown. And I respected the fact that, like, the fourth head he smashes in, or actually, I think he just hits her in the back, is a girl. And that's not that was an intentional decision. Of course, they didn't kill her. You see her very safely. She's like,
you very
the cobra.
Clearly see her scamper away.
Right. Later. She's like the cobra who always parachutes out of the G.I. Joe exploded airplane.
Right. Right. Yeah. But here's what I'm hoping for next week. I hope that the things that did make this work were the payoffs of like, oh, because we know this about Dee, because we know this about Tisha, because we or Letty, because we know this about Tick, these moments were deeper and they paid off. I'm hoping next week is just one big explosion of payoffs where they're like, yes, we know we did anthology stuff and we left a bunch of threads, but the Korean girlfriend's going to come in and we already saw the dimension play into it with the time travel, but maybe there'll be something else from that. Like, I just want to see all the threads come back together in some masterful storytelling. That would tie it up really nicely for me.
I think about the museum thread that they left open when we talked about that episode where they go down the one path and Tick is saying, well, it looks like someone went down another path. I mean, that's clearly... Now that time travel's in play, that's them, right? That's going to be them
could be.
For some reason going down that other path.
And also the lady that got away, she escaped. Where'd she go? Is she going to come back into the story?
Yeah.
All right. So that's Lovecraft Country, episode 9 of season 1.